Happy Men's Day. We're going to celebrate men, our dads, our grandpas, our spiritual fathers this morning. We've got donuts with dads. Even though if you're not dad, there's plenty of donuts. So go help yourself. Dads like sharing. Amen. It keeps them quiet. Right, Dad? Just give it to them. Don't make them cry. That was our motto. Just give it to them. Okay, some important dates. Man, we're down to one. What? We had a long list at the beginning of the month. But June 28th is our Hope Fest. I say our, it's really Champions, but we love it too. So Saturday, June 28th from 3 to 9, and we're going to have some local worship teams and some speakers at Hope Fest, and we're going to do some baptisms. It's going to be a lot of fun. And I know, Chris texts, I forget how many he said. I think there's like 12, maybe even more people that are interested in getting baptized at Hope Fest. So if you are one of those people that are interested in getting baptized, we're going to talk at lunch today about what that means. What it means to be baptized, why you want to be baptized. So a couple of them are like, I'm so nervous. I don't want you to be nervous. So if this helps alleviate some of your nervousness, I hope that it does. That's what it's meant to do. But it's a great thing. It's a celebration. It's confirming what Jesus has already done inside of you. And it's just a symbol of what that is. And it's an outward sign of what he's already done within you. Okay, so we'll talk more about it at lunch. But if you're one of the ones that want to be baptized, we'll have our own table downstairs. How's that? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I know there's prayer requests for Rachel. Our little Rachel's having some issues, some health issues. So pray for her. She wasn't able to be here with us this morning. Continue to pray for Bobby. We've got a card out on the table for Bobby. We're going to have one every week. I got to face chat with him a little bit this morning. That was fun. I'm sure Tina kind of walked around everybody that she caught in the hallway, but Bobby's doing good. He said he's reading his Bible every day. He's starting at the beginning. I asked him, I'm like, well, where are you reading? Where are you at? He goes, I'm at Genesis. I'm like, you went back. I'm sure he's going to have some questions if he's starting at the beginning. He's going to have questions for us. But continue to pray for Bobby. Pray for Rachel and Cheryl. Also, Cheryl's been coming with her sister. They sit in the back. But Cheryl's had her gallbladder removed. She's had kidney stones. And there's a lot of other hosts of medical issues Cheryl's had. So keep her in your prayer. I talked with her on the phone yesterday. So she'd appreciate your prayers. We're going to have a great day today, aren't we? Amen. We're so glad that you're here. We're glad that you're joining us on this rainy but beautiful day. So, yeah. Good job, Ben. Awesome. Awesome, awesome. I know I have some praises. Okay. All right. We got some new faces, some faces that we're happy to have back this morning. Amen. I know we are. Well, sweetie. Amanda wants prayers for her brother about a boat caught in his arm. Yeah? Okay. And also pray for our country with all the riots in Israel. Always in our mind. And we are called as the people of God to pray for Israel, to pray for his chosen people. Amen? So let's get our hearts. Yes. Paul had a coworker. It was a murder-suicide. So pray for Brittany Tackett's family. It was just an awful, awful situation. So keep her coworkers, her family, in your prayers. Yeah, Chris. Your sister-in-law. Yeah, Paula. Hancock.
Yes.
Yeah, and our Licking Valley champs, but a terrible accident happened, and one of the players' grandfathers passed away from a car accident. It was on his way back, wasn't it? There's two people killed. So yes, pray for them. All right, let's open with prayer. Get our hearts and our minds in a position to worship and praise this morning. Gracious and almighty God, we gather in your presence with hearts full of gratitude, with reverence and anticipation of what you have for us this morning. We thank you for this time that we are able to gather together as a church family to worship you. And this morning we pause. This is Father's Day. We honor and celebrate the grandfathers, the fathers, the spiritual fathers, all the men who guide us, who nurture us, that strengthen your church. And we thank you that their example this morning and their sacrifice, we lift up those who are grieving, those who are experiencing health concerns, Lord, loss, that you are a God who sees, you're a God who loves, and may your healing and peace surround each of them. And today we also lift up prayers for your people, your land of Israel, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We pray for peace. We ask for your hand of protection over the innocent, your justice to prevail, and all the promises in your word for the people of Israel and the land of Israel, Lord. We just pray that they are fulfilled and that the world would be a witness to it, that more people are going to be able, it says in your word, that through Israel, nations will come to believe. And we pray that it isn't through innocent sacrifices, Lord, but it's just your all-encompassing work of your hand. And Holy Spirit, we ask that you fill this sanctuary. Let every song, every prayer, every word spoken draw us closer to you. May your love shape us, your truth guide us, and your spirit fill us and empower us. Be with the praise band as they lead us through this time of worship and praise, and let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your courtroom of praise, Jesus. And I just thank you so much for Jeff as he gives us the word this morning. I pray for your anointing over him as he's your vessel that carries your word to us this morning. I just thank you and praise you for him. And now's not the time to be quiet, Lord. Let our praise just fill this room. Let the Holy Spirit fill us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And what is praise, church? Praise isn't quiet. I hope you didn't come here this morning being quiet. We're going to shout to the Lord because he's good, good, good. Amen.
Our greeting today is taken from Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. Oh, the joy of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do.
A couple of things I forgot to mention. In your bulletin in the middle section, Champions and Tina and Chris Roberts have made a list of items that are needed. They're getting more and more people off the streets and finding housing. So this is a praise. It's a big, big praise when they're asking for items for people, that necessities that are people that are getting apartments and getting permanent housing. So if you have any items to donate, they have a list in your bulletin of things that they need.
I always wondering in that song, should be a little less like me, a little more like Jesus. I mean, a lot more like Jesus. A lot less like me.
Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you today, this Father's Day, and we ask for your blessings upon us. We know that we are not perfect, and that we try hard to be an example and to raise our kids and to do the things we need to do. But we understand that the perfect Father is you, and that we strive to be more like you, and we love you, and we admire you for all that you do, because you love unconditionally. Doesn't matter what we've done, doesn't matter what we're doing, but you draw us to you, and you love us. So we thank you for that, and we thank you for the gifts that were given so that we can reach out and touch someone else in your name, in this city, in the community, those who need you. So bless us this day, Father. Bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So, of course, I found another little ditty from Genesis that they send us out. The teacher asked her student to tell her the meaning of loving kindness. So a little boy jumped up right away and he said, "Well, if I'm hungry and someone gave me a piece of bread, that would be kindness. But if they put a little jam on it, that would be loving kindness." You know, we're asking this world to share loving kindness of God and of Jesus. How do you share that? You put a little jam on it. You do a little bit extra. You do what you can for them, and you go over and above. Because why? God goes over and above for us. We ask for little things, and we sometimes don't get it, right? We don't get the things we ask for, but in turn, he gives us something way more than we ever expected. He puts a little jam on it, okay? So think about that the next time you're out there and there's somebody in need. Sometimes they need not only the bread, but the little jam. And we have that opportunity to do that. Amen? Let's pray the prayer, "This is my Bible," and ask God to show us the way and introduce us to those people who need that jam. Amen? This is my Bible. It contains the Word of God given to me. It tells me that I am made righteous through Jesus Christ and that I am the head and not the tail. Since I am a joint heir to the throne of glory, today I will allow what I hear to transform me to be more like Christ. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Amen. Happy Father's Day.
Good morning. Again, happy Father's Day. If you'd asked me a couple months ago if I was going to be up here, standing up here, I'd have said, no way. No way. You never know what God's going to do for you. I shared with a couple other people or a few other people this morning. I was asked to do a nursing home ministry probably about, I don't know, 4 months ago or something like that to start doing it. So I've been doing it for about 4 months. And really helped me with my struggles with speaking. And because I had some major problems with speaking, but never mind the handshaking. I'm still nervous. Anytime I stand behind a pulpit, I'm nervous because, you know, it's God's Word, and I take it serious, what God's Word is. Anyway, I'm over prayer with some little bit of Psalm 86, 5 through 13. "You, Lord, are forgiving and good, abounding in love to all who call on you. Hear our prayer, Lord. Listen to our cry for mercy. When we are in distress, we call to you because you answer. Among the gods, there is none like you. Lord, no deeds can compare to yours. All the nations that you have made will come and worship before you. Lord, they will bring glory to your name. For you are great and do marvelous deeds. You alone are God. Teach us your way, Lord, that we may rely on your faithfulness. Give us an undivided heart that we may fear your name. We will praise you, Lord our God. With all our heart, we will glorify your name forever. For great is your love toward us. You have delivered us from the depths, from the realm of the dead. Father, may my words be pleasing in your sight this day. Amen." So today we honor the fathers. And this really applies to mothers too. The focus here is on the fathers. I want to thank those fathers who are there for their children and family. So who are our fathers? First and foremost, there's our Heavenly Father. There are fathers that were in part of our lives. There are fathers and stepfathers that take an active role in the lives of their children, their stepchildren, and their family. There's missing fathers who have passed on to glory and no longer with us. There are grandfathers, maybe even great-great-grandfathers, who have taken the role of helping raise our children's children. And there are godly men with no children themselves that have taken the position and are there for our children in our homes, churches, schools, and sporting activities, in any other area where they may interact with our children. And unfortunately, there are many men in our society who have abandoned their position as fathers. May the Lord bless all those who step up and are there guiding, care, and nurture our children and families in the Lord. Children watch their fathers and are imitators of them in most cases, just as many of us continue to raise our children and families just as our fathers did. They will most likely do the same thing, raise in the same way, whether good or bad. Children watch their parents, and we have an impact on them by our words and actions. I thought about who would be the ideal father to talk about. I thought about all the godly men I knew, the saints I know that passed on, the pastors, men of the Bible, including Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, King David, all the Old Testament prophets and judges, the disciples, and many others. Some there weren't just enough scripture to tell how they were fathers, or even if they were. But like all of us, there are flaws in every one of them. So I thought the best example of a father to talk about would be God, our Heavenly Father. But first, I want to share a story, for our words and actions speak loud as who we are. I read a story someone posted on Facebook. I don't know who wrote it. You may have read it or not. The story goes like this. A man forgot to put his phone on silent, and it rang so loud in the church during the preaching that after the service, the pastor scolded him. The worshipers admonished him for their interruption. His wife kept on scolding him all about the carelessness all the way home. His friends and acquaintances shook their heads in disgust. You could see the embarrassment and humiliation on his face. So after that Sunday service, he never set foot in the church again. That evening, he went to a bar. He was still nervous and trembling. He spilled his drink on the table. The bottle fell on accident, and it splashed on some people. Those it touched rushed towards him. He closed his eyes, expecting a bashing of words and slaps. Instead, they wanted to know if he got cut by the broken bottle. The waiter apologized and gave him a napkin to clean himself up. The janitor mopped the floor. The manager gave him a complimentary drink while giving him a huge hug, saying, "Don't worry, man, who don't make mistakes." He never stopped going to that place. Sometimes our attitudes and actions as Christians can drive souls to hell. We have the ability to make a huge difference in people's lives based on how we treat people, especially when they make mistakes. And we are all prone to making mistakes, including saying and doing things that can and have lasting effects on others and our relationship with others. That includes our families. And as fathers, we tend to be more zealous in our actions and reactions. We are not the same as mothers. Mothers tend to be more loving, except maybe the wife in this story. They were created to be our helpmate. They are there to support us and to help us in our lives, as we should be there for them also. We as men should love our wives and speak and treat them with love and kindness. They tend to want to protect and comfort our children, pouring out hugs and kisses on them. Men and women were made different for a reason. Because of that, our children really do need a loving father and mother in their lives. We as fathers are a little more diehard. We're often the warriors. Men in general tend to lean on the tough side of love. We tend to give our children more freedom, often letting them learn from their mistakes. We are most often the disciplinarian when needed. We sometimes say things without second thought. While our intentions may be good, it doesn't always come across that way. And that can be harmful when it comes to our relationships. Our words and actions can bring us closer together or push people away. And if we're not careful, we can do the same, not only with our children, but with others also, including our wives and family. One wrong word can do a lot of harm, and we may never get another chance to correct it. Our Heavenly Father is a loving God who created us in His image. He is perfect in all His ways. Even though we may not understand all at this time, especially when you read the Old Testament, you don't understand why He did some things. He is the greatest example we can have for a father. He gave us His living word, His Ten Commandments, as well as a whole lot of other laws and regulations that we may live by them and prosper, as well as many other examples from lives of those in the Scripture. Also, we may know how to live, and in many cases, how not to live. there's good examples and bad examples in the Bible of how we should live. And God put them there for a reason. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17 reads, "All scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. He gave it all to us so that we may live by his word, so that we may walk in fellowship with him and prosper in our lives to be godly men that he wants us to be, turning away from the evil and living a righteous life in him. He also said he would never leave us nor forsake us numerous times, unlike some of our fathers today who have abandoned and fell short in their responsibilities." In Deuteronomy 4:31 it reads, "The Lord your God is merciful God. He will not abandon you or destroy you or forget the covenant with your ancestors, which he confirmed to them by oath." Again in Deuteronomy 3:31-8 it says, "The Lord himself will go before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged." 1 Kings 8:57, as King Solomon was praying, he was saying, "May the Lord our God be with us as he was with our ancestors. May he never leave us nor forsake us. May he turn our hearts to him, to walk in obedience to him, and keep his commandments, decrees, and laws he gave to our ancestors." In Joshua 1:5, he says, "No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you." And for those who have no earthly father, it says in Psalms 68:5, "He would be a father to the fatherless." That promise from God to turn away from evil and live a righteous life in him, and that he would never leave us nor forsake us, still stands today. Today I want to take a look at the parable of the prodigal son. But I want the focus to be on the father and not the sons. Luke 15:11-31 reads, "Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to the father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off to a distant country, and there he squandered his wealth in wild living. After he spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and he hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to the fields to feed the pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? Here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to the father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, and he was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and his sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast to celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of his servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when the son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" The father of this story represents our heavenly father. For those who have strayed, he is always waiting on us to return to him. For those who have stood firm in his faith, he reminds us that we are always with him and all he has is ours. But in this story, the main concern was for the one son who strayed. He never stopped looking for him and was there waiting with open arms when his son came back. He gave us his statutes and laws through his word to guide us as we grow. But we, like his sons in this parable, have free will. He gives us a choice. Follow him, which leads to life, or follow our own ways and desires, which can lead to death. Our struggle is against our flesh. Some of us have chosen paths at one time or another in our lives that may not be what our Heavenly Father wanted or what our earthly father wanted. But we as men and fathers are called to be the head, the leaders in our families. We are called to be God's example of how to be a loving father. Always there, always having loving, open arms to anyone who may need it. And I praise the moms and the women who have stepped up in those situations where there is no father and have done their best to raise their children. But just as the father in the parable is always on the lookout for his son and strayed, our Heavenly Father is always watching over all of us. If we stray, he goes and searches for us. He never gives up on us. As I read earlier, he never leaves us nor forsakes us once we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, for we are his children. When we choose to return to our Heavenly Father, as this son did, he is there waiting for us with loving arms. Again, as fathers and men of God, we need to be there for our families and our children, our church families, our friends, anywhere the need arises, to be loving men of God like our Heavenly Father. God our Father, knowing our weaknesses and that the wages of sin is death, that we in our human weaknesses are unable to attain the righteousness that he seeks, out of his love for us, he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to go to the cross and take up our sins, so that all who believe in him may live. And he gave us the Holy Spirit now to guide and direct us. This is the new covenant of grace. The old covenant with all of its rules and laws were never able to fully make us righteous. His laws and regulations still stand today. Jesus didn't come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. The laws and commandments show us truly how sinful we are and our need for a Savior. It is by his grace and mercy from a loving Heavenly Father that he did this for us. God our Father is showing us the way to life by his Spirit and his Word. His words are truth and life. Speaking of God in Nehemiah 9:17, it says, "But you are a forgiving God, gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. Therefore you did not desert them, even when they cast for themselves an image of a calf and said, 'This is our God who brought you out of Egypt,' or when they committed awful blasphemies." He's gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love. Some other characteristics of God are he is a good God, a refuge in time of trouble. He is a holy God. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. He is a righteous God. All of his ways are just and true. He is a merciful God and a faithful God. We can trust what he says is truth, and he is a loving God, and he will always be there for us when we call upon him. He does not disappoint. If we men strive to be like our Heavenly Father, this world will be a better place for it. Amen. Father, I thank you for your word that you never leave us nor forsake us. You never give up on us, and you always want the best for us. Remind us that your grace is sufficient for us when we struggle, and continue to guide and lead us by your Holy Spirit. Amen. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, so that your ways may be known on earth and your salvation is free and available to all. Amen. Happy Father's Day.